A young man called me, wanted to talk to me from Canada. So I called him and talked to him, and he asked me some questions. And after I answered them, he said, "Pastor, you got 2 minutes for a testimony?" I said, "Yes, I do. I love testimonies." He said, a few years ago, when we came to one of your meetings in Minnesota, he said, "You changed our life forever, mine and my wife." He said, we never went out and witnessed to people. We never talked to people about Jesus. But he said, after we saw what you did and how God used you to bring people into the kingdom, he said, "I thought this is what we're supposed to be doing." So he said, "My pastor and I went off up into Michigan to look at a windmill, these big wind generators. And he said, while we were up there, we come to this little bitty tiny town, and there was only one little tiny restaurant in the little town. And we thought, well, while we're up here, we'll have some lunch. So we went in to have lunch and said, we went in, here's this lady there. And so I'm kind of wanting to strike up a conversation with her. I said, are you the farmer's daughter?" And she said, "Yes, I am the farmer's daughter. My dad owns a lot of land around here." He said, "Well, does the farmer's daughter, is she a Christian?" She said, "Yes, this farmer's daughter is definitely a Christian." He said, "Well, does this farmer's daughter go to church?" She said, "Oh, yes, this farmer's daughter goes to church every time the door's open." She said, "I really love Jesus." She said, "You know, can I tell you something?" And he said, "Sure." She said, "I've been praying for one of my good friends to get saved. And I've been telling her all the wonderful things about Jesus. She came by and I led her to Jesus. And after I led her to Jesus, I said, you know, Jesus really loves you. He wants to talk to you and show you great and wonderful things." So she'd been saved one day. And she's in her car on the way to another little town. And she begins to pray, "Lord, if what I just done, making you my Lord and Savior, is really true, I want you to talk to me and I want you to tell me what you want me to do so I can be used of you for your glory." Now, we all ought to pray that prayer once in a while. You know that? And she said, immediately I heard a voice. The next gas station you come to, pull in, get out of your car, go in past the counter and go over by the pop machine and stand on your head. She said, I thought, this can't be God. God would never ask me to do such a dumb thing. So she said, "Lord, this is no time for jokes. Lord, I want you to talk to me and tell me what you want me to do." And he said, "Like I told you, at the next gas station, pull in, go past the counter, go over by the pop machine and stand on your head." She said, "Now look, Lord, I know this can't, God would, I never look at you like, you know, you can't, this can't be God. This can't be God." She said, "Lord, one more time, please tell me what you want me to do so I can be used of you for your glory." And she said, the third time, he said, "Pull into the next gas station, go past the counter, go over by the pop machine and stand on your head." So she looked up and there's the next gas station. So she said, "Okay," so I pulled in. Said, I sat in the car for 2 or 3 minutes thinking, you know, am I really going to do this? Does that sound like us?
Yeah.
Of course. That couldn't be God. There ain't no way that could be God. You know, God would never ask you to do something that stupid. That's the way we rationalize. So she said, I sat there a couple minutes. Finally, I said, "Okay, Lord." So I get out of my car and I go past the counter and I go over there. But there's a pop machine. I go over there. I get down on my hands and knees, put my head on the floor and start trying to kick my feet up. And this guy comes over and says, "Ma'am, what are you doing?" She says, "Sir, I know you ain't going to believe this, but I was just praying and asking God what I could do that he could use me for his glory. And he spoke to me and told me to come in here to this station, go over by the pop machine and stand on my head." Now, I know you're probably going to find that very hard to believe. She looked up and the guy's crying profusely. She says, something wrong with you? He said, "Ma'am, I brought my gun to work with me this morning. I've had so many problems in my life, I didn't believe God was real." And I told him, I said, "God, if you're really real, if you don't do something magnificent for me today, I'm going to blow my head off this afternoon. I want you where I work. I want you to have some woman come in and stand on her head by the pop machine." Now, next time God tells you to stand on your head by the pop machine, what are you going to do? I'm going to stand on my head beside the pop machine. I mean, he might tell me to do something even stupider than that. That's just like that one Catholic guy that I knew one time. This guy said I was doing the same kind of thing. He said, I was wanting to be used of God for his glory. "Lord," as a Catholic, I had really gotten saved. "Lord, I want to be used of you for your glory." He said, I walked into the service and I sat down on the back row, and he's one of the Catholic priests or whatever he is, or whatever they call him. And he said, I'm sitting there, all of a sudden the Lord says, "You see that woman sitting over there on the corner?" "Yes, Lord." He said, "Get up and go over and slap her in the face just as hard as you can." He said, God, I mean, they'd throw me out. They'd take me to jail. If I attack that woman in church, they'll call the cops. I know I've been there a couple of places like this in my life where I thought the cops had come. I've experienced these kind of things. I know when God does something that's the craziest, beyond your wildest dream. And he said, he sat through the whole service and he kept saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, I've told you. Now go do it. He said, I couldn't do it. He said, when the service is over, the Lord says, if you disobey me, you're going to miss one of the greatest blessings you've ever seen. So he said, I thought, okay, God, you told me so many times. So he said, I got up and I walked over and I said, ma'am. So this woman looked like she was in the pit. And I walked over and I said, ma'am, I know you ain't going to believe this. I know you ain't going to understand this, but wham, hits her right in the face. And the woman almost falls off the pew and gets up and she said, oh my goodness. She said, you just knocked me back to my senses. I was fixing to go out in the car and kill myself with my gun. It took a slap to bring her back to her senses. Is God awesome? Can he tell you to do some things that would be more than crazy? Yeah. Let me ask you this question. You don't have to share it with me. But how many of you besides me have had God tell you to do something you knew had to be somebody besides God? Something so stupid. But you did it anyway. Yeah. I mean, I know one of yours was like the night the Lord told you to remit the sins of the block. I mean, Kim had just been learning about I can remit the sins of everybody, and God spoke to her now that she has that knowledge in her and tells her to repent and remit the sins of her block. And her first statement was what? Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit got a hold of her. She said, Lord, what am I mean? Of course I can. It's in the Scripture. And so she remitted the sins of the block, and the minute you did that, what happened? The power came right back on and been off all night long. The very second she remitted those sins. If God tells you to do something, what are you better? You do it now, don't you, kid? Is that right, Scott? Whatever the Lord tells us to do, we do it. And sometimes he'll tell you to do something that in your physical senses, it won't make no sense at all. None whatsoever. You'll think, God, this couldn't be you. But if he tells you to do something, you do exactly what the king says, and guess who's going to get blessed? You are. You're going to get the blessing. Now then he says there, the more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as you get more and more knowledge, the king will tell you to do greater and not mightier things. And then 9 and 10, let's see what he says there. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind. At least they're very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from all their old life of sin. Some of you may have heard me tell the story about this woman. I know she's a really old woman now, but she was probably 60 then, and she went through Nashville and to the airport. And as she was being used of God, she was a great, great woman of God. And she jumped from one airplane. She's having to run down to the terminal to get on another one. Only got just a few minutes. She's nearly late. And as she's running down the hallway, they're pushing a lady in a wheelchair. And the Lord spoke to her and said, lay hands on that woman and I'll heal her. And, of course, immediately she said, Lord, I ain't got time to lay hands on that woman. I'm going to be late for my flight. Now, do we do dumb things? Are we done? Don't anybody here tell me. God, I'm going to tell you, God has spoken to every one of us to do something you disobeyed. I don't care who you are, you might not have recognized it was God, but somewhere along the line, the king told you to do something you did not obey him to do. But she wouldn't obey that either. She's running along there trying, and the Lord spoke to her a second time, says, do you want to miss a blessing? She says, no. She said, then go over and lay hands on that woman and I'll heal her. So she stops and runs over there right quick and just slaps her hands on her and says, be healed in the name of Jesus, and then just runs. That's all she said. She was there 5 seconds. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And she went on, got on her other airplane. She went, made her connection and got where she's going. And the next day, she's not near as big a hurry. She comes back. She comes through Nashville. And there, when she looks at the caption on the whole front page of the newspaper, unknown woman prays for a woman in a wheelchair was instantly healed. Right there in the airport. Now, if God tells you to do something, what are you going to do? You're going to do it. Because if you disobey, he'll not use you for his glory. But if you'll just do what he says, and sometimes he'll tell you to do something that sounds very crazy. You know, I remember the first time God told me to lay hands on a man for his healing. I thought, God, lay hands on him and you'll heal him? I said, Lord, this couldn't be true. I've been in a Baptist church all my life and I ain't never seen this. And I never had. But before it was over, I obeyed and God did what he said. Now then, I went through many of, in fact, Cheryl, when God brought Cheryl in my life just before we got married, she was telling people that she was going to marry Thurman Scrivener. And some of her friends were Baptists from the Baptist church, Lakeland Baptist Church. And they said, oh, she said, I know you probably don't know him. She said, oh, don't know him. Thurman came to our house. He got us to confess sin. My wife had cancer years ago, and he prayed for my wife, and she was completely healed or whatever. And they went on and on and on. And by the time it was all over, she thought, my goodness, my husband's been at this a long time. Isn't that right, honey? Yeah. Now then, if we believe him, we can be productive in his kingdom. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, is that limited to who? Nobody. It's the church, the body of Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those. Do what? Oh, well, I got to work hard for this? Oh, I don't know whether I can do that or not. Work hard? They don't want to work hard, do they, Eldon? Lots of them don't want to work hard. I mean, my goodness gracious, I bring you down to bale hay and we throw a few bales up on there and they say, oh, it's too hot. We need to stop and take a break. I said, we just got started. You know, let's keep going. Oh, this is such hard work. Even your kids will do this to you. When you start having to mow the yard, oh, Dad, this is so hard mowing the yard. Oh, well, if you think that's hard, let me get you a push mower and let you do it for a while with a push mower. And then you'll think it ain't hard at all riding one. That's the way you train them, right, Scott? So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Doing this, you will never stumble or fall away. You know, only those full-grown, mature Christians are never going to fall away from God. You know, the devil, he's really good. If you're just a mediocre Christian, he come by and knock your legs right out from under you.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Who Are We Going to Believe? Or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.